Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever time you are tuning in. Welcome to Homesteading and Gardening in the Suburbs. I'm Emma from Misfit Gardening, and today we're diving a little bit into the homesteading realm of sourdough. And I wanted to use this episode to explain how to make a sourdough starter, because anybody can do this. And if you're into making things from scratch, well, you definitely can't get more from scratch than a sourdough bread. I mean, the term sourdough broadly applies to bread that's made with wild yeasts. And, you know, they're usually slower fermented. They have a distinctly kind of sour flavor. And there's a high acidity in the bread, which is caused by the presence of certain bacteria, most notably the lactic acid bacteria, and that's the same that's used to make yogurt. And they colonize this starter that you make with wild yeasts, and they help to make the bread and give it its characteristic rise and its characteristic flavor. Now, making a sourdough starter from scratch isn't really that complicated, and you don't need lots of fancy equipment to do it. Although, if you have things like a stand mixer, that is going to make things a lot easier and quicker for you, but they're not necessary. So, you know, the great thing about making a sourdough is that there is dormant yeast spores all over. Okay, they're in the air, they're in your fruit bowl, they're in the organic bag of flour that you picked up, right? They're all over the place. So it's really as simple as whipping up some flour and non-chlorinated water together, because you're going to capture the yeast. And what you need to do is create a nice little home for that yeast to get settled in, and then they're going to establish themselves, they're going to multiply, and if you keep feeding it and watering it right, like a pet, then you're going to be able to keep this starter going with your unique strains of yeast that are in there to make your very own sourdough. And your sourdough that you're going to make is going to be different from, you know, say the person next door or the person down the street, or, you know, even potentially, you know, if you're making sourdough within families, you know, sourdough is going to adapt and change slightly depending on the environmental conditions, which is kind of neat. And in certain parts of the world, a sourdough starter is prized like an heirloom, like not like an heirloom vegetable per se, but more like an antique that's handed down from generation to generation. You know, like grandma will hand out this sourdough starter that she got from her grandma. And, you know, it's a beautiful way to, you know, keep something like that within the family and keep it going. So how do you make a sourdough starter? Well, you're going to need a couple of things. So in terms of ingredients, you're going to need about a cup of flour and a cup of warm non-chlorinated water. Now, a plastic container, like a big plastic container, an earthenware container, something with a lid that you can keep your starter in works fine. I actually use a 1/2 gallon wide mouth mason jar, because I put lids on mine that have a one-way valve. So I have things from, it's a Nourished Essentials Easy Fermenter Kit. And I use that for fermentation things because it's nice and clean. I can count dates on it. It's kind of neat in that respect. But also, because it's got a one-way valve on it, I know that stuff isn't getting into, you know, interact with that starter that I'm making. So that's what I use. And I'll link up to the Easy Fermenter Starter Kit so you can check that out if you want to. But like I said, I use a 1/2 gallon mason jar. It's got nice and big space in there. But when you're looking for a container, you want something that's going to allow plenty of room for frothing to happen. So you want something that's going to be at least 4 times the size of the initial batter that you're making. Because what happens is you add more as, you know, you're developing this starter. So you have these regular feedings that take place. So you're going to need space to grow into, basically. Now, some of the tools that you're going to need is going to be a bowl or something that you can mix together, water and flour, and a whisk, or something that you can use to really beat that batter up to get lots of air into it. A wooden spoon's great, but also, like I said, if you have a stand mixer, like I do, it makes it super easy because you can be getting this thing like whisking away, doing its thing, and you can be working on something else in the kitchen. So I started my sourdough a couple of weeks ago when I was canning tomatoes and making some crushed tomatoes. So whilst I was doing one thing, I was working on something else. And, you know, I like to double up on things like that in the kitchen because, you know, it makes more sense in terms of time. So if you have those tools available, by all means use them, but you don't need to have them, okay? So let's talk a little bit about flour, okay? Because flour that you use really does make a difference. If you're wanting to have a starter go quickly and start quickly, then, you know, look at something like rye flour or whole wheat flour. Organic stuff is obviously going to be better because it's not been treated as much. So, you know, look to getting those organic flours. I have a stone ground whole wheat flour, and that works perfectly. I've also made a sourdough starter from white flour or bleached flour. However, it takes a lot longer to get started because of those bleaching agents, okay? So use whole grain rather than white flour because it's going to ferment sooner and it's going to ferment a lot more vigorously, okay? And that's what we want. We really want things to get going quickly. And, you know, there's no need to really be precise about the quantities of flour and water that you're using. I mean, a cup is easy to remember, right? One of each. And for the first stage, you just want about roughly equal volumes of each. And you're going to make a kind of a thickish batter. It's going to be like almost like pancake batter. And you want to whisk it really, really well, okay, because you want to get more air in there. And the more air that you're going to get in there, you're going to get more yeast spores in there, and you're going to have a greater chance of them becoming established in your starter. If you've got a stand mixer, then just put it on, you know, medium-high speed for 10 minutes, and that's going to work just fine. And then what you want to do is you want to pour that batter into your container and put a lid on it and leave it somewhere fairly warm, okay? So I keep mine in the kitchen. It gets really warm in the kitchen, especially in summer. It is really hot right now. So I keep mine there and I can see when things are starting or not starting. And what will happen within a couple of days, or a couple of hours in some cases, depending on where you are in the world, you'll see fermentation happening. So you'll see like little bubbles happening. Okay, and this depends on a lot of factors, right? It depends on the type of flour that you're using, how much you whisk it, how much like wild yeast and bacteria are in the air, how warm it is. And, you know, sometimes, you know, things all go quicker because it's warmer in summer. And if you're starting this in winter, it's going to go a little bit slower because it's cooler. But you'll see like a little couple of bubbles surfacing, and then you'll gradually see it getting more and more rapid in fermentation as you go through the feeding process. So after the first day, you want to feed your sourdough starter again, okay? So what you need to do is you empty out your sourdough starter into another bowl or into your stand mixer bowl and start by whisking it again, okay? So you want to give it more air because giving it some air and oxygen helps that yeast. And helps get it a little bit more lively. But then what you want to do is add in another cup of flour and another cup of warm water. Remember, we want to use non-chlorinated water, so either filter it beforehand or use distilled water. You can use cool water, it's just going to take a little bit longer for things to ferment again. You don't want to use hot water though, because that's going to kill off your yeast. So you want to whisk it all up again and whisk it for a bit longer this time, so maybe 10 to 15 minutes. And then you want to pour it back in to your container and then leave it again, and then check again after another day. Okay. And you know, it's good, you know, people will open it up and kind of smell it and look at what's going on, and it's good to do that because you'll see how the smell of the starter is going to change. So it might smell a little bit acidic or vinegary to start with, and then it's going to smell maybe a little bit more like beer fermenting, and then it might change again. So, you know, understanding what your starter is doing and how it's changing in its smell and the amount of fermentation that's happening is good for you, because you're going to be able to see when it might be ready to use. And that's all normal, okay? And some people like the smell of the fermentation, some people don't, okay? So it might be sickly sweet to smell, sickly sour, might smell vinegar, maybe rotten apples. Some people think it smells like brandy or spoiled milk, maybe. All these smells are kind of normal, okay? And remember these, because, you know, as you, you know, go through and make more sourdough starters, you know, all this will come in handy later, because you'll know what's kind of normal and what's not. Okay, now after this first feeding, we actually have to take out some of the batter that we're making, okay? So the next day or so, you want to tip out about half of that starter into a container and throw it away, okay? You can, I mean, if you've got a compost heap, you could toss it on there, that should be fine. Or you can put it into an old container that's going in the garbage already, okay? Don't necessarily flush it down the drain, but you discard about half of it. And then you're going to replace it with another cup of flour and another cup of cold water. And you're going to mix it all up again. And then you're going to leave it another day. And then you want to look at finding it a permanent home, okay? Because potentially this sourdough starter is going to be with you a long time, okay? And find it somewhere that's a little bit cooler, but somewhere where you're not necessarily going to forget where it is, okay? Because you're going to need to feed it on a regular basis. So for the first week, you're going to be feeding it at least every day, discarding half of the material that's in there, so half of the batter, and then replacing it with another cup of flour and another cup of water. And then after that, you might want to feed it maybe only once a week, and you can adjust the amount of flour and water that you're going to be using as you're going through. So if you plan on making bread like really, really regularly, then you want to kind of keep it sort of loose and like a batter that it is. If you don't make bread that often, then you want to add a little bit more flour and make a more stiffer dough, like you make it a little bit more doughy, because that's going to slow down some of that fermentation that's happening. So keep smelling it. You'll notice that the smell's going to change. It is going to become less harsh, and it's going to become more complex, okay? And you'll know as you keep watching it and smelling it and seeing what's going on, you'll know that sometimes you need to put it all into a bowl and whip it all up again and give it a good dose of oxygen to get everything going. And sometimes you might need to just add more flour and pop it in the fridge to really slow down that fermentation, because you're not going to be making bread for a while. And, you know, when you've got those recognizable smells that have got established, then you're ready to use that starter. And what I mean by that is when the smell isn't changing too much, like, you know, you've had a couple of days, like 2 or 3 days, where you've smelled it and it doesn't smell differently, then you're probably ready to use your sourdough starter to make your very first batch of sourdough bread. Now, your starter needs to be really active when it comes to baking. So at least a couple of days ahead, you know, if you're storing it in the fridge or somewhere cooler, you want to bring it back up to somewhere where it's warm, you know, maybe in the kitchen, and you want to get it back to that thick batter stage by adding it, by adding more water and feeding it daily until you bake, okay? And then that's going to help everything all kickstart, because you want it to be super lively when you're going to use this to to bake with, because you have to make what's known as a sponge. And this sponge you usually prepare like the night before. So overnight, your sourdough starter is kind of kicking up all of the flour and stuff that you're working with. It's eating that and then it's frothing away. And then you're going to add more flour when you're making sourdough bread, and then you've got to let it rise, and then you need to push all the air out of it again and then let it rise again. And you do this a couple of times. In fact, you do this four times to make a good sourdough bread, and that's going to give you that really nice open airy texture. And sourdough baking is a little bit different because it's taking so much longer, but there's lots of other breads that take longer to bake that are really good, like pumpernickel is another one that takes a long time to make. But once you master making bread with your sourdough starter, you don't ever need to buy yeast again unless you're wanting to make something else. And artisan sourdough breads go for a lot of money in the grocery store. I mean, I really love sourdough bread. Like I love the chewy texture of it, and I love the really hard crusts. And because I'm like a huge fan of making soups, in particular minestrone, I always found that sourdough would go really well with that. I also really like to dip sourdough bread into really good olive oil. Like there's just something really delicious and wonderful about that. But sourdough bread has been around for many, many, many years, and there's something different about sourdough bread all around the world. Like if you have sourdough bread out in Italy or in Greece, for example, it's very different from, you know, sourdough bread that you might be eating in New York or San Francisco. And that's all down to the abundance of those wild yeasts and bacteria that are there. So you can get something that's, you know, uniquely yours and regional to where you live. And that's honestly one of the really fun things about being an urban homesteader, is really creating some of these wonderful things from scratch. You know, not only growing your garden, and maybe you're growing heirloom vegetables and things there and seed saving, or, you know, maybe you're doing some landrace gardening and really building up, you know, your garden's resilience, but also building up resilience in the kitchen and in, you know, those recipes and things that you are creating and handing down. And I think, you know, the thought of being handed a sourdough starter is kind of unusual, but kind of cool. Like, you know, some of the fondest memories that I certainly had was of baking with my grandparents, and we never did a sourdough or anything, and by no means am I an expert baker, but the fact that I have a sourdough starter, in fact I've got two sourdough starters, because I've got one that's made from white bread flour and one that's made from whole wheat, but the fact that I have that, and because I'm trying and practicing with baking, because I'm not a very good baker. In fact, I think I put in a YouTube video of a loaf that I baked that was described very poetically by my husband as being dwarven battle bread. And if any of you listen to the Discworld series by Terry Pratchett, then you will understand what that reference was about. But I think in this video I am hitting this bread loaf with a cast iron frying pan, and it wasn't really budging or making a dent in it. But by making the sourdough starter, you know, I'm not really wasting anything, you know, in terms of like the yeast, because yeast, purchasing it from the store, can be very expensive, especially if you buy the big blocks of it that you then have to keep in the fridge. But having, you know, a sourdough starter, it's all natural yeasts that are nearby, and really the only thing that I'm wasting is a little bit of flour, you know, a cup of flour or so, and you know, some water, and really my time. So if the bread doesn't necessarily turn out, you know, I could always turf it to the chickens, or donate it to my friend's chickens, because we don't have chickens anymore, you know, or turn it into something else. But being able to kind of practice and not kind of have those sort of financial worries is very encouraging in the kitchen, because I know that was something that, you know, a lot of you feel, that you don't necessarily want to fail at things in the kitchen because, you know, food's expensive, or, you know, you don't want to be wasting all of those kind of efforts. So that's something else to think about as well. And, you know, having practiced making sourdough bread a couple of times, I can tell you some of my loaves are still coming out as dwarven battle bread, but they are getting better. And, you know, just like anything, you know, even with gardening, it's like, you know, it's practice, okay? It's a little bit of science, it's a little bit of art, and every day is an experiment. But if you keep at it and keep practicing, then you really can't fail. Failure is only when you stop trying. And I'd really like to know if you've ever made sourdough bread before and if you've ever made a starter. I want to see pictures. So if you make your sourdough starter, then go, you know, get on Facebook and join the Facebook group and show me your pictures of your sourdough starter, or tag me over on Instagram. I'd love to see how these are going and how you guys are baking your bread. I'd love to see those pictures. Until next time, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I hope that your garden and homestead are doing great.